Hello and welcome to the Mercenary Star Podcast. We are a Battletech podcast highlighting the storied mercenary units in the newest Kickstarter from Catalyst Game Labs and beyond. My name is Seth, also known as White Fox SG. I'm your host here, and I am joined today by a very special guest and my co-host for the day, the one, the only, podcaster extraordinaire, author, champion. I don't know. There's so many titles. Charles Gideon, ladies and gentlemen. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on. And thanks for everything you've done for Wolfnet over there. So I appreciate that.
To be involved. Okay. So, you know, it's just something I like to do. I like to get involved and be a part of it. So glad to contribute for sure. For sure. And if you don't know what Wolfnet is, check out his hat, because that is the Wolfnet Radio podcast logo. We have a thriving Discord community and Facebook, which is funny because who uses Facebook except for the Wolfnet Radio podcast?
we're old.
We can't help it. I know. We're not old, Charles. Coach is old.
Yeah, Coach is old.
We're going to say Coach is old.
We are now guaranteed to know if he listens to this or not.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Getting started off right. Well, we are on episode 4, and we are talking about Charles' favorite mercenary unit. I'm fairly certain, considering A, he's got the shirt on, and B, he has actually authored 2 Calhounds bits of fiction, and they're fantastic, by the way.
Oh, thank
but
you.
Also, first, did you just submit them to Shrapnel and they were allowed to pass through, I guess is the question?
Yes. Okay. I had an earlier story that was in Shrapnel 4. Gratitude Repaid.
Yes.
Which has nothing to do with the Calhounds, but
no, but it's still fantastic.
Oh, thank you. But that one was in the queue and kind of went through like the long process, I guess. But thankfully that was I had that story kind of like already fermented in my brain, so I just had to put it on paper and submit. So I was at number like 32 when I submitted it. So that one got through, which then kind of opened the communication between the editor, Phil Lee, who, if you are watching this, he currently has an open Kickstarter. So it's a kind of a retro sci-fi story book that he's putting out. But anyway, give a plug for Phil.
Definitely check it out. Great guy.
But he's great guy. But so then it kind of turned into me just asking questions about like I kind of have these ideas for this follow-on story involving, you know, Wolves in Exile and Calhounds, and how do you want me to submit that to you? And he's just like, well, just send it over. So that's how
that's awesome.
Those stories got through, and I hope to be able to keep writing well enough to get my stuff greenlit and keep getting into Shrapnel.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, if anybody, thank you. If anybody's out there thinking somebody ought to write a story about fill in the blank, write it, put it into Shrapnel. The queue is long right now, but there's only one way to get the story out there, and that's to submit it.
And so, just because the queue is long doesn't mean that like yours wouldn't, if it's good enough or it doesn't need as many edits, doesn't mean it can't get bumped up, right?
Maybe? I'm not exactly sure how Phil selects.
We'll just say that,
I don't know.
You know, like there's a chance.
There's a chance.
There's always a chance.
There's always a chance.
Yeah. Shrapnel has been fantastic. I've loved seeing so many new people get involved. I have definitely like three short outlines like saved that I'm going to get to at some point and submit myself, because I've always loved the fiction element of Battletech. It's definitely what drew me in. I mean, mechs obviously drew me in first, but the fiction is fantastic. I'm an avid reader. Michael, and also, too, this is, like, again, I kind of geek out the fact that you and Michael Stackpole are, like, the authors for the Kellhounds now. Like, does it feel surreal to be included with Michael Stackpole?
No one has ever quite put it that way. And it's, now that you're saying it, That does feel completely surreal.
Right? I mean, that's so cool in my mind, because he is without doubt my favorite fiction author, hands down. Battletech, Star Wars, World of Warcraft. And then honestly, he has some original fantasy fiction, like, that are his own creations. Absolutely amazing. And so Michael, if you ever listen to this, which, you know, hey, there's always a chance, right? Thank you just for all the fiction that you've contributed to so many universes. But also thank you for your own, because they definitely have inspired me in a lot of different ways. And I love them. So, yeah. Anyway.
Well, and I'm just going to echo you. Stackpole was always kind of the quintessential Battletech writer to me. Yeah. And I mean, you know, he wrote the tentpole trilogies, you know, first couple eras. So there's reason for that, but he just, the way he writes, it's intriguing. Mm-hmm. Without being like, you don't have to stop and like break things down like five layers. But he keeps it in that happy, like, 2-3 layers where nothing is, like, just handed to you as a reader. So he's not not assuming that you need to be spoon-fed the story, but also not so deep where it's like you have to read the book 5 times to even have an idea what's going on, you know? Just a really good, good balance.
100%, 100%. And he's been there since the beginning of Battletech 2, which has been fantastic. So, I wondered if you had thought about that. So, enjoy pondering that from now on. That you and Michael Stackpole are the only two in this little club of riding Kellhounds. So,
Well, no pressure or anything.
No pressure.
That's great.
I mean, hey, you've written two in a serialized story now, which is fantastic. So, which is what Shrapnel, you know, besides the one-offs, like having those small serialized bits of fiction are fantastic. And that's part of what it's about. So, I'm excited to see where the character goes next. So, and honestly, it's been long enough since I've read the first one. Did you mention in it what bloodline she is, or is that still a surprise?
That is not spoken.
Okay. I didn't think it was, but like I said, I read it when it came out, but I hadn't read it since. And then I read the other one last week, kind of preparing for this. I was like, I don't remember that, but is it a surprise or is it public knowledge? Is it something you've got to hold on to? I don't want to get you in trouble. So,
no, there's nothing on paper. So I guess there's nothing.
It could be anything.
It could be anything. It's a non-starter because nothing's written. So, because everything in Shrapnel is canon, but it has to be in Shrapnel to become canon. So,
So you heard it here first, folks. You know, she is beep edit. No, that's cool. I loved that, thinking about that. So anyway, hey, let's dive into the Kellhounds. Also, real quick, is there any other credits that I've forgotten? Because I met you through Wolfnet. Obviously, you're very involved in the Colorado BattleTech scene. And then also, which, shout out to the other Colorado peeps out there, the Valhalla Club. Those guys are awesome. But yeah, like, is there anything else that I've missed?
I don't think so. Wolf Night Radio podcast, the 350 rules that we've put out for Alpha Strike, shrapnel entries. Oh, and then the one story that I wrote in conjunction with Kevin Witt from CSO, the Onikuma short story for Halloween. Yeah.
Awesome.
And then thank you. I guessed around a lot, you know. I think I've hit
a lot of them.
I think I'm missing now that I've been on yours. Now I might be missing like one or two out there, but
I might as well contact them and say, look, you're the last on the list. I need to be on your podcast. I'm a completionist. I'm 100% in this thing, right?
I need the achievement unlocked up at the bottom. Yeah. Awesome. I love BattleTech. I love the universe. Over on Wolfnet, I'm kind of the resident lore nerd. So
we have many conversations in the fiction channel.
Yes.
Let's
yes.
Just put and it that it, way.
And it's very much the part of the game that I push. I think that they're getting together with people, rolling dice, putting, you know, moving your little plastic mechs around is a ton of fun. But I think that without the story side, knowing the context of what's all going on, because it always adds an extra layer of fun when it is I'm playing, I don't know, Clan Wolf, and you're playing Clan Jade Falcon, and in my head I get to make it all part of the great refusal, and you know it just adds so much more.
I feel like that's where BattleTech differentiates from a lot of the other, you know, sci-fi wargaming universes out there. I played 40K for a little bit and like never knew anything about the story ever. I've even played, you know, a good handful of the video games. Never knew any of the story. It just didn't. It was too, you know, ultra high level, you know, I don't know. It was just too out there. BattleTech has always been the story about, you know, this person over here, this unit over here, this unit over here. And then we'll pull out and we'll look at what's going on in the universe as a whole, but you've already had the connections with Morgan Kell, with Grace and Death Carlisle, with, you know, Hans Davion, you know, from these other books, that it just flows super, super naturally. And so, yeah, it's also that. I was thinking about this the other day, and I definitely am a classic guy. Also, I definitely want to play Alpha Strike. I have the Alpha Strike box set. I just have not given the time to play it. And I say that mean like I have never played Alpha Strike yet. Full admission.
Come on in. The water's fine.
Oh, it's... yeah. No, I'm totally ready to do it. Although I do get, you know, that kind of perfectionist in me is like, but I've got to paint a unit. I need to paint a 350. What do I paint? What do I do? You know, like kind of thing. So, you know, there's a little bit of that hesitation or that freezing, you know, like, oh, I freeze and then I just don't do it. But good news, too. My first guest, Derek, is now in Oklahoma, also a Wolfnet friend and also a podcast host for On the Origins. Fantastic. And Armor Up. But yeah, so he's local. And we are going to meet up, and I think he's going to help me maybe play a game of Alpha Strike. So that'll be fun. But what I was thinking of the other day, listening to Wolfnet and listening to Mech Bay and some others, because I try to consume all BattleTech content, as many of us do, I know. I feel like maybe we have all been thinking of classic in the wrong way. And I'm going on a little tangent here. But
okay, yeah, lay
here,
it on me.
Here's how I feel like we probably should start treating it. It's an RPG. It's not, I mean, it is the board game of Armored Combat. You know, it's the hex sheets or the not hex sheets and the terrain. But it's, I feel like if we treat it more like an RPG and know that, like, hey, like when I play a session of Dungeons and Dragons, it's going to take me 4 hours.
Yeah.
When you play classic BattleTech, it's going to take you 3 or 4 hours. You're developing a story. So, I don't know. To me, I was thinking about it, and it was kind of a little light bulb, a little revelation in my head the other day. I was like, I need to treat this more like an RPG. I need to have story. I need to have, whether it's, you know, scenarios from the source books, or whether it's my own scenario that I've put together, which is what I do for my weekly D&D group, you know, all the time. I'm like, that's an RPG. I have an RPG sheet for each mech. I have a character sheet for each mech, you know, with all the little bells and whistles, just like a character sheet for D&D that's like 3 pages long, you know. So just a little food for thought there. If we start treating if we start treating classic more like an RPG, and we say, oh, we're going to come together, we're going to create a story, which I know that we've talked about before, and you guys have talked about before, when you're playing through a scenario, that's usually when you guys enjoy it a little more. And so, yeah, I feel like let's change the mindset for classic. You know, like, let's move it away from any, not any thought of competitive, but you know, let's associate it with role play as opposed to competitive. And I think it'll, you know, those of you who maybe don't have as much of a love for it might have a little bit more of love for it after that.
Yeah, no, I can't disagree. I think that the context of the story is different, right? Like,
yeah, totally.
If you look at like D&D, it's the conversations we have and all, you know, all of those things. But if you're playing a game of classic, the number of, just like in any other, you know, tabletop role play game, where the dice do something weird, or somebody comes up with a really weird idea and tries something stupid.
Absolutely. You get a headshot. Then, you blow somebody's arm off. You know, you get a you know, armor through critical on their center torso and just, you know, like knock out their gyro even though they're fully armored. You know, all of that. It's totally role play.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. And then you tell a story with the aid of some dice rolls and you walk away remembering kind of how things played out.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily who won or lost. It's the whole session. Yeah. I'm with you.
And being the lore, you know, aficionado that you are and knowing that, I was like, I need to remember to tell him that because like, man, like I need to do this more. So.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's why it feels so much better when you can tie it into the universe through the fiction, because then it feels like you're telling a small story as part of the bigger story. And
like I said, if you come to it thinking, I'm going to spend 4 hours playing a classic game, not because it's a slog to get through the rolls and to get through, you know, having to roll for each weapon. You know, if you come to it with the mindset of like, I'm telling a story about my pilot, about, you know, maybe my squad at most, because that's usually all you're going to do. But you're like, yeah, I'm going to, you know, because like I said, too, again, I didn't start playing D&D or other RPGs like Star Wars or whatever until I was an adult. And so, you know, I didn't quite think about it that, but I, you know, been playing BattleTech since I was 8 years old. So, but yeah, I always definitely kind of had loved the story part of it. I mean, literally White Fox, my whole online gaming persona is because I loved Hans Davian and I loved Clan Ghostbear. And so White for snow, and, you know, Fox for being, you know, intelligent and tricky like Hans Davian, the fox. That's where I was born, right there. So, all right. Well, hey, now let's jump into the Calvinists.
We'll get there. So, we'll get there.
We'll get there. All right. Well, we're going to move over to our presentation screen here. And so we are going to get right into it with the year they were founded. The Calhounds were founded in the year 3010 by Morgan and Patrick Kell, brothers. And they were able to create the Calhoun Mercenary Unit with inheritance from Arthur Louvon, who was the husband of Archon Katrina Steiner, who was Archon of the Lyran Commonwealth. We'll jump down to the summary in a minute, but they first appeared in fiction in 1988, older than probably half of our Battletech players at this point. Is that older than you, Gideon?
No, I'm older than the Kellhounds.
Okay, good. I knew we were closer in age, but I, you know, didn't want to assume. Also, too, and we'll get to this later, the long-lost true logo of the Calhouns has surfaced lately, and it's fantastic. But yeah, also, too, a little fun fact about them is that... in 1988, they were in Warrior on Guard, which they played a heavy, heavy part in the Warrior trilogy. I mean, Morgan and Patrick Kell were front and center, some of the main protagonists. So,
yeah, yep, they made up a because Warrior kind of follows three different storylines kind of concurrently, yep. And they make up one of them. So,
yeah, which is fantastic. So,
yeah,
you know, it's right up there with a great introduction to BattleTech for those looking for an introduction to BattleTech. The Grey Death Trilogy is great for getting to know about what BattleTech is, as far as like mechs, mech warriors, you know, down and dirty mercenary unit. And then the Warrior Trilogy is such a good follow-up to say, and now here's the rest of the universe. And so it's fantastic. I love it. But yeah, so, but one of the cool things in that trilogy, and this is a little fun fact, the Kellhounds were the first unit to field test the Wolfhound Battleneck, which is one of my favorites. Actually, not even after this. I think it wasn't until until Lethal Heritage that I was really like, you know what? I like that Wolfhound. but
yeah, I was gonna say, yep, Phelan, piloted one too. So,
So they were gifted that from Hans Davian after saving Melissa Steiner during the Silver Eagle incident, which is in that novel, those novels, and that they're fantastic. So, also too, there, as far as Charles and I can find, there are 13 pieces of fiction that are about or include to some prominence the Kellhounds or Morgan and Patrick Kell.
It's so hard because they make a lot of cameo appearances. The short story in Shrapnel about the Crescent Hawks on mm-hmm. Luthien.
Yeah.
Because then it's like, oh, at the end, Morgan walks in, right? Like, there's all of these, like, and then Morgan walks in.
And then
he walks out of the room. And that's, like, the whole thing. So,
but they're major players. I mean, he's literally related to two of the great house families. I mean, by marriage to Davion. And to Steiner, actually, you know, because of Melissa and Katrina. So, because they were cousins with Arthur Louvon. So, yeah, it's, of course, they're going to be major players. So, you know.
It's like kind of every big conference, every book where there's a big InnerSphere gathering, there's Kellhounds around, and it's kind of hard to say, now is that really about them, or are they a like, oh, they're also there, you
And
know?
it's either as the Kellhounds or it's as the cousin to the Archon or, First Prince, one of the two. So yeah, but yeah, the Warrior Trilogy was their first appearance, followed by the Blood of Kerensky Trilogy, which was the culmination of the Clan Invasion, which was fantastic. Natural Selection, Grave Covenant, which I feel like that was a, I guess it was a 5-year gap from Natural Selection to Grave Covenant. but again, even though Michael Stackpole didn't write all of Twilight of the Clans, it's again one of those defining series within the BattleTech universe. And then we have a shoot, 22-year gap without the Kellhounds in fiction. Going from, 1997, Grave Covenant, to Kellhound's Ascendant, with Michael Stackpole bringing it up back in. And was that, what was that part of? Was that the original Kickstarter? The first Kickstarter?
The Ascendant.
Yeah, was that part of the Clan
Yeah.
Invasion Kickstarter, right? That
Yeah.
was the
Yeah, that was.
fiction that we got, which was also the first time that Stackpole had written BattleTech in 20 years, I feel like. So,
Yeah. Well, he had
fantastic to
done a
get him back.
couple Dark Age books,
That's true. But that was like,
but
so maybe 15
yeah.
years since he had written
Yeah.
it,
It
because they
had been a
were,
minute.
yeah. Yeah, then we had the If All Acquaintance Be Forgot series through Shrapnel, which was the first serial that we had in Shrapnel too, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was the kind of the. Well, we also got Shrapnel from the Clan Invasion Kickstarter. But
Yes,
yeah,
yes.
that was kind of the big. There were a lot of like returning big name authors from the BattleTech line, but there was definitely this like, hey guys, you really got to pick up the first handful in order to, because
Yeah.
you get the Kellhounds from Stackpole. Like, why wouldn't you pick up
Why
Shrapnel?
wouldn't
So.
you? Yeah. No, and that was fantastic. So, yeah, I definitely love Shrapnel, so. And then we had yourself giving us Protector of the Blood in Shrapnel number 7, which
Yeah.
was the new one of the new serial in Shrapnel. And then we had, this one was unexpected to me, The Night at the Lake, that just like popped in with this Kickstarter. They
Yeah,
were like, oh
and
yeah, hey, join the Kickstarter, and now here's a novel.
right? Yeah, and it's sort of a Kellhound story, sort of, wink,
Yeah,
wink, you
wink,
know.
wink.
But go read it. It's a fun read.
Yeah, well, and I mean, like, the cover is like the Kellhounds old logo, but yeah, so and then your follow-up, which is in the most recent Shrapnel, because we haven't got 13 yet, Shoulder of Giants, which is fantastic. And like I said, we're following a young wolf in exile warrior. So
Yeah, so it when so yeah to for anybody who hasn't read my Shrapnel stories, there again, they aren't really necessarily Kellhound stories, they're Wolf in Exile stories, but you don't they're together, like so
Well, they're
but
basically the part of the wolves that, spoiler for Ill Clan, that go with the Kellhounds. So
You have two kinds of wolf in exile, the ones that went to Terra Mm-hmm. And the ones who became Kellhounds. So,
yeah. So, I'm excited to see where that goes. But, yeah. So, let's see here. Let's get into the unit summary here just a little bit. We got a great picture of Morgan and Phelan Kell. And if you recognize the Crusader and Griffin art, that is the Battle Mech Manual updated art, which is fantastic, and I wish I had that one, because the one that I got, I have not been to Gen Con, but the first year that they released it, I was very fortunate to have a friend going, and the year that they released the Battletech Manual the first time with the Timberwolf on it, I was able to get him to pick that up along with some of the aluminum dice. Before they had the pucks, they just had the aluminum dice. And so I got some of those. And so, I've got the PDF with this in it, but I'm tempted to get the book too, because I do love that photo. So, so that's Morgan on the left and Phelan on the right. So let's dive into it, shall we? You want to alternate paragraphs here with me if you have that up?
Yeah, sure. See it.
All right. I'll start us off. Kellhounds, like I said, founded in 3010 by brothers Morgan and Patrick Kell. They are about as famous of a mercenary unit as there can be in their short history. Creation, like we said, was funded through the inheritance from their cousin Arthur Lou Vaughn, who married Katrina Steiner, the Archon of the Lyran Commonwealth. Though they would ever be closely tied to House Steiner, being related through marriage to that Innerseer Great House, they also worked closely with the Lyran's closest allies, Federated Sons and House Davion.
The Hounds were also one of the first units in the Inner Sphere to encounter the invading clans in 3049. Under contract to the Free Rasselhag Republic on the periphery planet known as the Rock while hunting pirates, the son of Morgan Kell, Phelan, who's on the right here, was captured and made a bondsman of Clan Wolf by Vlad Ward, for anybody who maybe forgot who that was. And then he would play an integral part in
and
the way the clans operated.
And then promptly taken by Ulrich Kerensky.
Oh, yeah. He got scooped up.
Yeah.
Integral part in the way the clans operated within the Inner Sphere, being an advisor to Khan and then Ilkhan Ulrich Kerensky, and then later becoming a warrior and becoming a Khan within Clan Wolf. Well, Clan Wolf in Exile. It's complicated, yes. But it's a really good story, so you should read it.
You should absolutely read it. So following the clan invasion and the clan's defeat at Tukid, I always say Tukid. For those want to argue it.
Yeah. Tukid?
I can't do that.
Me neither.
Phelan took a large portion of Clan Wolf in Exile, like we said, finding a home among his former family and unit, the Kellhounds, on their home planet of Ark Royal. I don't know why I always love that name, too. Ark Royal. Just Ark Royal. Just
yes, it's a good name for a planet.
It's a good name. Kellhounds and the Wolf in Exile would remain allied closely together throughout the remainder of the Clan Invasion era into the Jihad and Dark Age, and leading right up to the Ilkhan era. Not that they ever weren't allied, but like we mentioned, a little spoiler, the Wolf in Exile, or a large portion of them, did go to Terra. We've yet to find out what has happened to them completely. But a small group did go with the Kellhounds after other events.
Yeah, a lot of techs that has been clarified, that there's definitely some techs who like to make vehicles into omni vehicles. We know that. Through throughout their young existence, and no small part due to, in fact, to their familial ties to both House Steiner and House Davian. The Kell Hounds have been involved in numerous events that helped change the landscape of the Inner Sphere, including the Battle of Twycross and the Battle for Luthien alongside the Wolf's Dragoons.
Yeah, and, you know, obviously, like we said, they're a part of, like, every major thing. Every major thing, they are in some way involved in some storyline. And I loved that, you know, it was them and the Wolf's Dragoons, well, you know, and now the Crescent Hawks, who showed up on Luthien. You know, and they're like credited with saving, you know, the Draconis Combine. Mercenaries, of all things, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, the death to mercenaries was lifted, at least for a while. I guess it's not really back. It's not back, right? It's just kind of a general attitude now, again.
Yeah, yeah. No, they, trying to think here. Yeah, well, we don't know necessarily, like, when the, when the Wolf's Dragoons dipped out on their contract, if, you know, they're mad again.
Yeah.
We'll find out more. I'm sure that there will always be more stories.
Pretty sure they're mad about it, but, you know. Yeah. So, yeah, in the current Ilclan era, though, the Kell Hounds have been greatly reduced. And by... yeah, so anyway, they're greatly reduced, and they are currently... kind of in hiding, licking their wounds and rebuilding, led by Calandra. How do you say that? Calandra?
Yeah.
Calandra. With
Calandra.
That's how I say it too.
Heard it said on the by people way more official than me.
Okay, perfect.
They've said it that way.
So. I just say Calamity Kell because it's a way cooler name. And I don't know why, but like, I'm over 40 and I'm going to reference a movie that's way older than me, but there's this old Western called Calamity Jane. I don't know if you've heard of it.
Yep. Yep.
That's what I think of every time when I think of her, of Calamity Kell. She's like Calamity Jane in a tank, and it's amazing. So.
Yeah. Yeah. She drives the meanest of all little hover tanks. So.
Yes, she does. In fact, here it is on the screen for those watching the video. Yeah, and it's awesome. The story about her, which I didn't even include that story. That was in the, Tomorrow Rising. Gosh.
Oh, thank goodness. Yeah. That was written by, Lauren Coleman. So
you're not by yourself.
I'm not by myself anymore. Oh, thank God.
Still kind of by yourself.
I only have to compare myself to Stackpole and Coleman now. All right.
Yeah. You know, no. That was excellent as well. But yeah, I forgot about that. And I mean, I even opened Tomorrow Rising to grab a screenshot of this picture. I will have it listed in the show notes. I will do that for sure. So the reason they're in hiding is because the Jade Falcons, along with Melvina Hazen, basically came and tried to wipe the Kell Hounds off the map and took over Ark Royal. They are currently out there in the periphery rebuilding. So, looking forward to see where they are in 3052 or 3152.
Are we skipping spoilers from Tomorrow? Because
yes, we're skipping spoilers.
Okay, we're skipping spoilers
we're
from
skipping
Tomorrow.
Spoilers, yeah, sure.
It'll be very interesting.
It'll be very interesting. Yeah. Well, you know, like where they come back from that, even so.
Yeah. No. Because
that's just a tidbit, even.
Yeah. No, there's still lots of question marks, and I hope that there is. I mean, the Catalyst has plenty going on, but I hope that somewhere on the radar is some additional narrative fiction about the Kellhounds and kind of what's going on following Tamar Rising and everything.
Well, look, if Stackpole doesn't want to write it, I know a guy. So
I'm over here struggling on short stories, and that's all I got. That's all I can do.
No, so well, looking forward to that though, for sure. And like I said too, this summary, you can definitely get a summary from Sarna, but obviously Charles and I would highly recommend you checking out the books for the Kellhounds, because honestly, they're some of the main books in the BattleTech universe. Honestly, some of the biggest universe-impacting stories from the very beginning. So definitely check them out. All right. Well, part of why we're doing this podcast, again, to highlight all the storied mercenary units that are coming out, that are highlighted in the Mercenaries Kickstarter, which killed it the last month.
Yeah.
Literally, it went live like right after my episode 3. And so now we can safely say that they did so amazing. I mean, over $7.5 million, 23,600 backers ish.
Yeah, that sounds right. Yep.
That's awesome. I mean, like I have seen, like I don't know if you do this, but again, because I like to consume all things BattleTech, I go on YouTube like once a week and I search for BattleTech, and I have found more videos in the last few weeks from people who don't know anything about BattleTech, but who are in the tabletop wargame space, who are like, this Kickstarter raised a lot of money. Of course, none of them get the amount right because they all looked at it like 5 days before it ended, and it like added $2 million since then. So, but yeah, like absolutely fantastic. Congratulations to Chaos Game Labs, and congratulations to all of you, the fans, because I'm excited to get all the stuff that we're going to get. And not just the plastic mechs. I'm excited for that, but all the other stuff as well. But yeah, so that's why we're doing this, to kind of re-educate everyone on all these amazing mercenary units, because it's all about mercenaries. And some of the more popular ones have already come out with product. And we have here the Kellhounds Striker Lance box set force pack, which you can get. Did lots of reflection on the plastic, so I'll take it out. But yeah, it's already out. You can get yours at your friendly local game store, or you can get it online at multiple places. You can definitely check out our show's sponsor, which we'll talk about again later, but it's Fortress. Hold on, I gotta say it right. Fortress Miniatures and Games. Not the other way around, because I get that confused sometimes.
Yep.
But but yeah, we'll have links for that and stuff in the show notes. These mechs are awesome. These are some of my favorite mechs. Like I said, the Mighty Wolfhound, piloted by Daniel Allard himself. If you can see it there a little bit. Yep. He's throwing his up as well. Yeah, so the pilot card is Daniel Allard, which we know is one of the leaders of the Kellhounds during the early days, besides, which is funny because it's not a Kell, but it's, Morgan and Patrick definitely left him in charge, of everything whenever they needed to. So we have the Griffin variant. And if you can't see it, it's kind of hard, but this missile launcher here has way more missiles than the standard. And it is Brogan Casey, who apparently was also there from the very beginning. I don't really remember him from the books, though.
Yeah, no, I not as key of a player. I mean,
No.
it's also really hard, like, following. We just talked about Dan Allard, where, like, he is the like the Kel who's not a Kel. He
Exactly.
very instrumental in everything that happens with the Kel Hounds.
Absolutely.
But and then it's like, oh, and then there's some other people. Like,
there's
if you if it's not if you don't have like somebody named Kel and then Dan Allard, it's like everybody else is like, well, Solomon Ward, I
which
guess,
is
but
well,
a lot
which is
of other
also
also ran.
well, yeah, but it's also funny because none of these mechs have a Kel in them. Now, granted, we do know that Phelan also piloted a Wolfhound, so you know, but he wasn't on the other side of the card, I don't think.
No, I think he came out in the Clan Invasion. I think he got a card.
Ah, that's
in
right.
There.
So that's why they didn't put him in there. So, and then we have the, but also too, this Wolfhound is a repose. Because in every box we have a, every box we have a variant, a reposed, a new mech, and a jumping mech in these initial force packs here. The jumping mech is the Crusader, which is fantastic. I love the pose he's in. I also, like, he does, because the way his feet are, they also do include a little stand for him. It's not as cool as the crushed urban mech in the Highlander, but, you know, little piece of terrain to stick his foot on there. And of course, the plumes do come off. If you don't like them, that's quite all right. We won't judge you, even though you're wrong. and then the last one is the new mech is the Night Sky, which was it 3055? Was that the original Night Sky introduction?
Yeah, 3055 or 3058, one of those two.
Yes, one of those
I think
two.
55.
And part of why I liked this so much was that it was a better inner sphere mech with a hatchet. Because previously we had the Axeman and the Hatchetman. And this one has a hatchet. And it had a little bit better armor, a little bit better armament than the Hatchetman. So I always liked that guy.
And yeah, it was 3055.
Okay.
You were correct.
See, I remembered, right?
Yep.
You know, just because I'm over 40 doesn't mean I don't have a memory, good memory, you know, most days. yeah, so so that was the force pack here. And here's the slide again for all those watching the video, which you can watch the video on our YouTube, but you can also watch it on Spotify because they have video podcasts now too. So check it out there as well, or listen to it anywhere you get your podcasts. But Kelhounds, again, are one of the few mercenary units to have their own source book out there. It's definitely not in print anymore.
No, yeah, no, it's old.
The cover art is fantastic. I'm not sure. Is that supposed to be Is that supposed to be? You know who?
Yeah, Salome. Yeah,
Salome. Thank you. Yeah, love this. This is like classic mercenary, right? You got the leather jacket, you know, no shirt on underneath. The other guy's got definitely probably a mullet, and, you know, drinking some sort of amazing inner sphere alcohol. And, yeah, it's good times. So also, that is, here's, like, they have to have the coolest dress uniform of all the mercenary units by far, in my opinion, with the double-breasted wolf head logo right front and center across their dress uniform. That's awesome.
Yeah, no, the way it's described of like it's all like functional.
Mm-hmm.
It's not,
yeah,
it's not, oh, we just printed the hound head on the front. It's like, no, that's actually a different piece of fabric.
Yes.
And that's where it opens. And it's like, that's, That's well thought out. Whoever came up with that back in the day.
I feel like they even describe it like if they are a little casual with their uniform and the buttons are off, it looks like the ear is down.
Yeah.
Yep. I could be wrong, but for some reason I'm imagining that. Probably Phelan, because he was always too casual, right?
Yeah, he was super cash.
He was super cash. But yeah, so I love the, and I don't know, oh, I know why. It's because he's at the wedding, of course. He's at Hans and Melissa's wedding there. That's got to be, okay. That's got to be Dan Allard, I feel like.
Oh, in the image on the screen? I think that's just a generic from...
Well, it's generic, you know, but Merc. Like...
Where did they really
I'm gonna
make
say
this art for?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He has red hair.
We can make up our own story. Yeah. We can make up whatever story we want.
Didn't he have red hair?
No.
I
don't think so.
I'm pretty sure he had red hair. I just reread it, but now I'm totally misremembering.
Well, and I also... played the collectible card game a lot, so
well
they weren't 100% true, so I get those images in my head.
Yes, that's,
and then
true.
I get myself really confused between the different images.
You're right. I mean, it's definitely just a generic, you know, it's like Wolfhound in dress uniform. But like, why put the wedding, you know, behind it? I don't know. Anyway. But yeah, so there is also, you know, this long-standing discrepancy of an old logo that we all know and love. But now that we have a new logo, we can only see a kangaroo or a donkey.
Yep. Yeah, some sort of herbivore.
Yep. And it's unfortunate, but it was never my favorite because it was always a little narrow, but I never associated it with anything. But yeah, definitely. But their paint scheme, shown here in the video again, being the Timberwolf in the red and black, is just iconic. It's just fantastic.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Well, speaking of things kind of changing in iterations over time, the Calhound paint scheme has also kind of evolved, because it very much was, well, like his dress uniform, where it was like red shirt, black pants, and that's the way all the mechs were painted. But now it's kind of become like red torso, black shoulders, red forearms, you know, black hips and
there's
up
a little
and thighs.
And I feel like that's probably a little bit due to modern art, where they're like all red on top and all black on bottom is a little boring.
Yeah. And it's, you know. It's also, I feel like, more doable with the miniatures that we have now, where like they're done so well where you can paint them to match that without having to be like a super amazing artist. Like,
oh, yeah.
It's doable.
And with the new paints, like the contrast and army paint or speed paint, and everybody has them now, which is great. I think it's fantastic, and it gets more people painting things that look better. So yeah. But yeah, it's just, again, one of those iconic paint jobs. So, you know, if you're thinking about painting up Calhounds, I mean, you can't go wrong with just black legs and red top either.
Yeah, no,
I mean,
no,
you know,
everybody will know what it is.
Throw a little detail on there. You know, don't sell yourself short, but you can do that. It's, you know, it's kind of like the wolves, and they're like two-tone brown
Beta.
Beta. Everyone knows it. So, yeah. But yeah, it's fantastic, so... once again, too, if you need to pick up this force pack, definitely support your local game shop. But if you can't find it there, check out the sponsor of the show, Fortress Miniatures and Games, and definitely get on the list. If it's out of stock, you can reserve, which is pretty awesome. So, and their stuff is up on the screen as well. But Charles, We've come to the end of our show. Do
Man,
you have
goes by
any?
so fast.
It does, right? Definitely compared to WolfNet.
Oh yeah.
I love WolfNet, and honestly, I wish that you guys did more than once a month or so. But at the same time, you know, long episodes, which is okay. Is okay.
Yeah, I don't know if people could handle like 8 hours of us a month. That would.
Oh,
be...
they could handle it. They could handle it. I have other game related podcasts, and they started out, you know, like an hour, hour and a half. And I swear the one the other day, like they've just gotten longer and longer and longer. And the one the other day was like 3.5 hours. So yeah, you're not alone
yep.
in it.
No, yeah.
By any
nope.
means.
It, scope creep. It happens.
Yep. Scope creep indeed. But yeah, so, but yeah, so let's see, is there any shout outs? Is there any, you know, thing you want to plug? Floor is yours.
Yeah, no, I, as far as shout outs, I want to start with you, Seth. I kind of said at the beginning, but, what you've, I mean, the logo on my hat is a White Fox original. We wouldn't look as put together as we do if it wasn't for you. It's all a facade. It's a veneer.
Hey,
really,
I
it's all Seth.
Really? I mean, I will take credit where credit is due. But Coach has been killing it with the streaming graphics lately.
That's true.
I may have
that's
given him
true.
All the tools to do it, but he has been doing a great job, and I'm super proud of him. So great job with that, Coach. You've been doing great.
Yeah.
And if you don't know yeah. who Coach is, he is one of the Krull. Krull's, he is, you know, kind of the founders of WolfNet, right?
Well, the
I mean,
yeah,
him,
the
so Aaron and Andrew,
yep,
Bloodbath,
and then Bloodbath and Silent were the
Silent.
The original
yeah,
four.
Yeah. Okay,
I was, I'm the Adalong.
I mean, we
Adalong,
all consider but... you in there now. So
I've been there for a minute. But
just
yeah, I get shout out to all of the WolfNet. Community really is
absolutely.
Like the thing that makes WolfNet good is the community. Everybody who's supporting Seth, I see he's getting some solid views.
Yeah,
that's excellent.
It's awesome.
So and
it's
anybody,
surreal, but it's awesome.
Yeah, right. It doesn't go away. So
that's okay.
Yeah. And then anybody who is here. Showing Seth some love because they saw my name. Thank you for coming over
yes,
here and showing
absolutely.
Seth love.
Thank you very much.
So I'm gonna plug this later when you're ready to drop it. But
yes, I mean, like I said, I told you earlier, I don't do a whole lot of editing. I'm gonna slap the intro on the beginning. Actually, I kind of already have the intro. I just have to like time it with the music and add the music, and that's it. So. I try to
ready
have
to
all
roll.
I try to have all the production here because I came from streaming, so I just already had like you know all my slides and stuff in order. So, awesome. Anything else?
No. I
okay.
think that covers.
Well,
I mean, there's always more.
There's always more. No, I will definitely sing your praises, Charles. Your fiction continues to inspire. It's fantastic. So glad to get, you know, have gotten to know you over the last 5 years now in WolfNet Radio podcast, Discord. You know, also to play some games on ye old, Mega Mech. It's always fun. But then, yeah, like the fiction and then, you know, appreciate the shout outs that you've given me on multiple podcasts, I feel like. But yeah, so
you're a popular guy. You're a popular guy. You
know,
you deserve all the
shout
outs.
I like to be involved in the community. So, and I do, like I said, I do consume as much as I can. So also you'll get one of these, but I have some stickers and they're fantastic. And
sick.
This means I'm a real podcast, right?
You are. You 100% are.
Next
when you come
is
out
dice.
With slaps.
Yeah. Next
no,
is
you,
dice.
That will be that, well, maybe I need to hold off until there's dice too.
Using, I'll send it to you. All right.
No, having slaps makes you legit.
That's right.
And that's part of the mind blowing part of like going to events like LVO and stuff, and then seeing like Wolfnet stickers and Valhalla Club stickers and Mech Base stickers, like everybody's got stickers on things. So it's always kind of like, yeah, surreal in that way. So now you get to join us, Seth, and you get to have those experiences and be like, oh, people are putting my sticker all over things.
I'm for it. So, and not just because, you know, it's like anything for me, but just because it's like I like to create. I'm a creative person. Charles said, the Wolfnet logo, they put a call out in the Discord that were like, we need a refresh on our brand and our logo. And I was like, I can do that. I was able to pull it out, and I feel, you know, proud of that for sure. So, and then, yeah, like with this, this came to me when I was like, this was what was funny, is that I feel like it was the episode that you were on with the Hala Club right before they started doing their unit highlights.
Okay, yeah.
And when I say right before, meaning I stopped the podcast before they got to it and was writing notes down to be like, I'm going to do it on Mercenaries. That's what I can do. And then I like finished the episode. I'm like, they just started it on Mercenaries. But then they were like, we're going to cover all units, not just Mercenaries. Like, okay. It's not, I still have a little bit of, you know, separation there, but they're great. And so love them too. But yeah, it was the episode that you were on, and I was like, I should do that. So, and of course, because the Grey Death Legion, is one of my favorites, Mercenary Star was just kind of like, you know, I had the old, novel art, and I was like, that's just fantastic. Although it was funny listening to some of the discussion during the Kickstarter when they were talking about wanting to redo that old Mercenary Star cover, and they told him no, because it's like, it's not a scene in the book, it's just a random collection of things Battletech adjacent, you know. Like, they're like, there's no palm trees on this planet. But there was palm trees on the cover for some reason. So
true.
I took the palm tree out and put a star because, you know. But yeah, it's, you know, it's just fun. And again, I love Battletech. It's definitely my favorite universe. And even if I don't get to play very often, I like to just be a part of it and consume it. And so, hopefully, though, this summer, my oldest is unfortunately not going to get to play video games as much because he had some slippage in his grades, but he's corrected that course now, thankfully. But I'm probably going to monopolize some of his time and try to get him to play Battletech with me. So he's shown more interest. Like, we played a little bit. I introduced it to him early, but he was young, and the youngest was way young. And so now he's like starting to like kind of be interested in the story and the lore. So gonna get him hooked with that, I think.
Yep.
And since I said earlier, classic is the RPG, we're gonna do some RPG classic for sure. So, and we'll do some Alpha Strike 350, of course.
No, yeah, so yeah. But
we're gonna have the big battles, but.
Yeah, no. It only takes one crazy dice roll to get hooked. You get that headshot or that tack or whatever, and it's like, oh, I can do that in this game. I'm going to play this for the rest of my life.
Yeah, absolutely. So, well, Charles, once again, thank you so much for joining me on this episode, talking about Kellhounds and how amazing they are. You know, there's so many mercenary units. Maybe we'll bring you back around for somebody else. Maybe the Crescent Hawks.
I would have to do a little homework.
Right?
Yeah, that's... I always joke that the Kells are the Lyrans that the Steiners wish they were, and I feel like the Crescent Hawks are the mercenary unit that they wish they were the Kell Hounds, but they're not. No. And granted, I didn't play the video game, so anyway.
Yeah.
We're getting off again, but no, thank you for having me. Thanks for having me on for my favorite faction in BattleTech, my favorite mercenary, and I'm a big fan of all mercenaries. So the fact that you had me on for the bestest one, I really appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Thank you. Well, for everyone who tuned in, watching online, on YouTube or on Spotify or listening to the podcast, thank you. And yeah, we'll stay tuned. Follow us on the socials. Like and subscribe on YouTube, please. It helps. It helps me out and also lets me get to do some more cool things like get more stickers and get dice, because dice are not as cheap as stickers. So, but yeah, I will think of how I'm going to try to divvy these out, because I'm pretty sure they're going to go fast. So, but thank you. Have a good night and God bless.
Thanks, everybody.